Since it's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and it's time for the Burn 'Em Down podcast. It's the podcast of Rolling Thunder Racing Series and also the Rolling Thunder Money Race. I got a big one coming up in November, November 16th. Green flag at 9 o'clock. And you got to get in on this pretty quick because registration, the time to sign up, is over on November 1st. So don't waste your time. Get signed up. Go to RollingThunderRacingSeries.com, find out more information, and enter there. And the reason you got to get in on this, it's the battle of the teams. And teams of four drivers, entry is $125, not per person, per team. Fixed setups, 85 laps at Daytona. It's winner take all. And it's a big prize. It's $1,000 for the winning team. We'll be talking about that later on. Fixed setup, 85 laps at Daytona, November 16th. Room opens at 8 o'clock, qualifying at 8:50. Green flag drops at 9. That's the Battle of the Teams, part of the Rolling Thunder Money Racing Series, November 16th. Turkey's expensive this year, so get in on that race, and you can buy a lot of turkey for $1,000. Winning team wins $1,000, entry fee $125 per team. For more information, go to RollingThunderRacingSeries.com, and it will be broadcast by the Global Sim Racing Channel, courtesy of Rolling Thunder Racing Series. This is our weekly podcast where we bring in some guests from the league, drivers from the league. We try to get the winner in each week, and we just talk racing. And the goal is to get the entire roster on the show and just talk racing for a little bit. We'll talk about this week's win at Daytona, which the winner is here, and his name is Scott Crump, and he won by 0.011. We've got the photograph to show you. We're live on Twitch right now. It was quite the battle at the finish. 0.011, 11 one-thousandths of a second. So week four in the Rolling Thunder Racing Series, the Burn 'Em Down podcast weekly driver spotlight. We have the winner from Atlanta, Scott Crump, driver of the car number 11, and we have Jordan Berbe, who finished in P5 at Atlanta. Guys, we were talking a little bit before racing, so before we got on, how's it going tonight?
It's going pretty good tonight.
Cool. Thanks for stopping in, and Scott.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
for sure. Anytime.
Oh, it's great. It's a lot of fun. Who in iRacing or a race fan doesn't like to talk racing with other racers? Probably not too many people.
It's like most people get on there in the first place.
Yep, exactly.
They want to race.
Yep. So, Scott, tell me about your win Sunday night. I got the photographs
pretty
up.
Pumped getting the win.
Yeah.
I started out getting the pole, so that was pretty huge.
Cool.
Put down a pretty quick lap. And, I don't think I was kind of the fastest. I was competitive. I was right there with everybody. I think Erberhardt was like the fastest of everybody, so I don't know. He was crazy good. They were definitely beating me in like 3 and 4, so I just kind of just chilled the whole race. And then somewhere in the middle or closer to the end, I think P2 and P3 came together and wrecked each other. And that brought out a caution, and it put me in second. And then in the pit stop, I think it was Dylan Jones out the pits. And we had to save fuel for like the first 20 laps to even make it.
And oh, wow.
We were side by side for like the last 35 laps, and coming down to the end, he had a good run on the inside, and I knew I just had to protect the outside, and it was going to be tough for him to beat me to the line, but he almost got me, so I'm just barely held on to get the win there, so it's pretty huge, so just hopefully we can continue that momentum from here.
So your strategy during the race, what was more important, saving tires or saving fuel? Because you're around the old Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, and that track is known for really eating up tires pretty bad.
At first, it was just saving tires because fuel wasn't an issue right then and there. Mm-hmm. It's just when that caution came out, fuel was...
Cool. So what was your strategy going in? Were you shooting to qualify up front, or do you like mid-pack and just see where the race develops, or are you a gunner right from the start?
I love qualifying up front, so I try to do best because you gotta worry about what's in front of you crashing or anything like that. You kind of just set your own pace. Yeah, kind of just early on, just kind of just sat there and just rode for a while, see how it was going to hang out, see who was faster and who was slower, who burned up the stuff early on, who saved tires, that kind of stuff. Just kind of read everybody and just get a feel for the car on how hard to push it on, just so I don't wear out the right front or get too loose with it and wreck it, because if you wreck, you can't finish a race wreck. So just looking for a solid finish.
Cool. And Jordan Berube, you finished in fifth place. Tell me, where did you qualify and how did that affect your pre-race strategy?
I qualified, I believe, in 12th. You know, that being around, like, in the middle of all the drivers, you know, I didn't really want to push it hard, too hard to the front, because I just still trying to get a feel for, you know, the different, how different guys race, you know, and, like, just their demeanor when they race, I guess, or whatever. And with it being fixed setups, you know, up towards the front, you know, the times are pretty small, so qualifying is pretty important at some tracks, especially like Atlanta.
Yep.
And so I just wanted to see how the first half played out, and with there not being any cautions, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna keep going till towards the end of my fuel run, then just pit. And then when that last caution came in, that helped me out, but I kind of feel like I backed into the fifth place because I was about, say, ninth or tenth on pace.
Yeah.
And then there was that, the first caution when, Eberhard and I can't remember who else, when they wrecked, that helped bring me up a couple positions. And then on the last lap, there's an incident in front of me, so I came there. But I had a little luck my way, but at the end I was like a lap short to the good, so I was just trying to, you know, manage gas, but I didn't want to fall too far back and then have to really push at the end and then run out at the end.
So was there a point in the race when you were in the middle of the pack, like any time that you decided if you're going to make it up to the top five finish, what was your go point when you decided it's time to go for gold?
Right around that, like that, first caution, that just changed the race for me because it helped me get everybody, you know, made their last pit stop. And I think I gained a couple positions off the pit road, so that helped me out. And then being in a little bit of cleaner air and, you know, other guys going at different paces, you know, some were, I could tell were saving their tires a little more, gas a little, and some others were going flat out. So I was just trying to manage with everything around me.
Cool. So when you went in for the pits, how many times was it where you took fuel and changed tires at the same time?
It was every single time, but I knew if there would be a late race caution, I wouldn't have any tires for it to come out, because when that first caution came out there, I only had a set left and it was right on the edge of the fuel window.
Oh, wow.
And you know, it's just how the race played out. But there not being any cautions prior to that to kind of switch up the strategies a lot.
Okay. So it sounded like
More so about managing tires, it felt like. And, helped later in the race when the clouds came in and gripped up the track some. And that's when I started to gain more speed and feel like I was, you know, running quicker pace.
Cool. Scott, when did you start getting interested in racing? At what age, and who was your influence, if there was one?
Pretty much just born into it. Race team, Junior Dunleavy racing. So he was part of their big crew and all that. So I grew up into it and just hanging out with the race team, hanging out at the track with a bunch of people. Playing pool with a bunch of drivers like Bobby Hillen, Dick Trickle. They all ran for Junior Dunleavy. Who else? Ernie Irvin ran for him. Ricky Rudd. A lot of big name people ran for Junior Dunleavy. So, yeah, just growing up, I just pretty much grew into it and took it a part of it and going to the Richmond race twice a year.
Ah, great. Have you done any real life racing yourself, and what kind of series and cars and what tracks?
Never done any. Wish I had or whatever, or always wanted to, but never really did. So it's about as close as you can get to real life. I've done, like, me and my brothers or whatever, we'll go in the backyard. We had a little go-kart track at one house.
Oh, that's cool.
So we had a little racetrack out there, so we raced go-karts around the circles. But we ended up usually crashing each other or whatever, beating and banging on each other.
That's what boys do. And hopefully mom wasn't watching too much, right? Because she would have put an end to that quick. At least I know my mother would.
Yeah, I think they only flipped a couple times, so it wasn't too bad.
And no helmets and no roll cages, correct, back then?
No roll cages, but we definitely still wore helmets.
Okay, that's pretty smart. Jordan, when did you get into racing? And
One day I was... It was the 2005 Brickyard 400.
Mm-hmm.
I was just flipping through channels, I guess, because preseason football was on and my dad wasn't in the room, so I changed the channel. And I just happened to see these cool-looking cars going really fast around the track, and I just caught me from there. And Tony Stewart became my guy because he won that race. So
yeah.
I've been a Smoke fan my whole life. And I wish I'd say I've alive, but the most recent experience I had.
Yeah. So you said Tony Stewart. That was at the same time my eldest got into racing for a little bit. And then he went off in other directions, more into finance and business like that. My youngest son, Sam, he's 21. He's a photographer for IMSA, NASCAR. He goes all over the Northeast with a motorcycle series and clubs. I got into it just to show you how old I am. Back in the 70s on ABC used to have this thing on Saturday afternoon called Wide World of Sports. And then CBS, when Daytona first, or they NASCAR started going on TV, I think it was CBS, they wouldn't even show the whole race. They would just jump in for a little part. So I've been race fan from the 70s, got out of it for a while. And then my youngest, we got a bunch of dirt tracks around here. So we started going to dirt tracks and then Watkins Glen, and I catch a couple NASCAR races every year. So, and the closest I've ever come to real racing was at the 6 Hours of the Glen a couple years ago. We bought tickets, but then WeatherTech had a contest where if you won, you got to hang out in their hospitality room with all the big wigs from IMSA, free booze and free food all day, and you want to ride in a pace car. Not a pace car, but a car around the track, and I got the brand new Celica, and we're going around Watkins Glen at 140 miles an hour coming up to the bus stop, and let me tell you, that was insane. So that's that was great, and the driver was cool. He was narrating the whole thing, and he's talking about every time he's shifting and he hit the apex, and I have no idea what the guy's talking about. So he's saying, and we're coming up the back stretch and we're headed towards the apex. We're doing 142 And then he goes, whoa, we're in the bus stop and we're doing 80. The G-force is going from 140 miles an hour to 80 in about a second and a half are absolutely nuts. But it was a blast. So, Scott, when did you get involved in iRacing, and what's your favorite series to run, and is it asphalt or dirt that you like to do?
iRacing, I believe I started back in 2017-2018. but before that, I was real big into Xbox, NASCAR, okay. Like 2003-2009. They were pretty big for a while.
Yeah.
I always thought about coming over to iRacing. I just never did it. And I got friends that I work with that were into iRacing. My brother got iRacing. So, you know what? I'm just going to break down, go ahead and get into iRacing myself. And that was back in 2017-2018 time frame. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm more a fan of the asphalt ovals.
Ah, okay. Any reason that over dirt, or that's just what you prefer?
Just what I prefer.
Okay. What about roads? You ever do any road courses?
I like driving the road courses. I'm just not that fast at them. I mean, I'm like above average, just not like the fastest. So I'm like always like around like 5th to 10th or whatever. So I'm never like in contention to win one of them. But I would love to get there. I work hard on road courses. So I just can't seem to figure out that extra second or two that I need to compete for the win.
Yeah, same here. I love road courses. I just really suck at them, but I love driving it. I guess it's your chance to feel like you're one of the big guys doing, Formula One or something. It's cool, but I do much better on oval. Jordan, what's your favorite series on iRacing, and when did you get in?
I think it was about 20 for me. And, I've heard about it for years. And I just decided around that time just to get into it. And I love racing the Gen 4 cars, of course, but I really like driving the Xfinity cars and the super late models as well.
Ah, yep, they're fun.
I've tried dirt oval, but it's just not for me. I'm terrible at it.
Me too. I'll do it occasionally. I did an offbeat series actually 2 years ago. I think it was called what the heck did I call it? I called it the Roller Derby. And what it was basically a 30-minute race, no rules. We did one of them modifieds on some dirt track somewhere. And the whole thing was wrecking was encouraged, and whoever was in first place after the half hour came up, won like $50 or something. Everybody had a good time, but I've tried sprint cars. They're fun, but I'm not any good with them at all. So when you got into iRacing, like everybody else, it was the free lobbies and open lobbies and such like that. When did you two start getting into league racing?
So I've been into league racing for probably about maybe 2 years now. At first I was just doing like official races with like open setup. I got onto a race team called Lowline where they were competitive, pretty much practice all the time.
Wow.
They got into the Coke series, so I got to be on the pit box for Eric Smith.
Oh, cool.
He actually won one race at Auto Club, so it was pretty exciting. I don't know, just got kind of tired of the official series, so I jumped over to league. And I don't know, league race has been a lot of fun, and you get to make money too, so that's awesome.
Yeah, Justin's got some good payouts, not only at the end of the season, but every week you can get some gas and beer money. That's pretty awesome. So Jordan,
if you're going to do it, you might as well make money while you're having fun. And
exactly,
doing something you like doing.
Yep, because he's amazing that it costs a lot of money to run a league. I was running Joe Sixpack Racing for 3 seasons before I turned it over to somebody else, and between prizes and broadcasting two of the three leagues, it's several hundred dollars a month if you don't get sponsorship, and sponsorships are so hard to find. Jordan, how long have you been in league racing?
Honestly, this is my first league that I've done because just life circumstances and what never really had the time to dedicate to a league, you know, and actually be able to put time aside for it and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I've been having a blast so far, and glad we're done with, you know, walking the road course of the year and getting to some actual tracks now.
Yeah. That's funny. We noticed in the other leagues I was in, I've been in like three or four different leagues, there's a big drop-off in attendance on the road courses, and usually Martinsville and Bristol. It's just like they don't want to run the road courses, and the real short tracks, nobody wants to run them either, even though those are fun too.
Martinsville will be really interesting, especially with so that the bumpers are.
Yes. Yeah. So, any of you two have a love-hate relationship with the Gen 7 car on iRacing or in NASCAR in general? And what's your opinion of it?
I run it pretty well, but I don't know. It just seems like you're too much in throttle most of the time. And it's just,
yeah,
you're like 90% throttle most of the time. So, and so is everybody else. So it makes it super hard to pass. And then the side force on them is crazy. So you get beside somebody, you just go back and forth. You can't pass each other. So then it's just like a parking lot pretty much, and you can't go anywhere.
That's my opinion too. But it seems to be the more popular leagues. Have any of you guys ran the 87s?
Yeah, I used to. It's just not my style of racing because of just how tight those setups are. You need to be like saving the right front from one of lap one.
Yep. Yes, I was running. We did one race. There's an over 50 league, and we were running the 87s at Watkins Glen, and I got to tell you, it was fun. And then some of the other guys in my other leagues, when we had our admin meeting, they said, what was it like running the 87s? Because they had just come out. And I said, well, go back to when you're like 16 and you take out your grandfather's 1987 or 1976 Pontiac Bonneville, you know, those big boat ghetto cars, and step on the gas. Oh, yeah. And then you realize that you don't know how to stop because you're like riding on the edge all the time. So it's definitely challenging car to drive.
I think the Gen 4 and the 87 have a lot of the Gen 4 turns a little bit better, but there's a lot of similarities in that too.
It's been a little bit since I've run them on something besides Daytona, so
yeah,
should probably check that out again.
Being that it's a fixed setup league, is there anything you guys do with your brake bias or offset or steering ratios that to try to get an advantage? And do you like it, your steering loose? Do you like it tight?
I can't give away all that information.
Honestly, I don't. I just mess around with it, and if I find something that feels better than the stock, you know, settings, then I'll go with it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you make any? What about force feedback? How do you set that for the race, guys?
Force feedback. Much. Kind of just leave it like it is.
Yeah.
The brakes. It's all like preference. And how hard you use the brakes, how much brakes you want to use, stuff like that. Steering ratio, it all depends on the track. The car is tight or loose. If it's loose, probably want to run a little smaller ratio. If it's tight, you probably want to run a higher ratio.
Okay. I tend to like steering a little on the tight side. I just find it, when it's too loose, I'm not comfortable driving. It just seems like it takes too long to avoid a wreck. But when it's too tight, you know, it can be a little twitchy at the same time. So coming up for Richmond, Jordan, what are your plans for Richmond? Have you practiced on that track, or how many times have you run it, and what are you thinking you're going to be doing there?
I haven't run it in the gym. I love running them in seven cars, so definitely going to be doing a lot of practice there this week, getting the braking points set up, and especially nailing the exit of turn two, because it's kind of, the bank and transition's kind of really awkward, and it has a little bit of like a hill that you come off of, down off of out of two. So that's going to be a important area to nail to have a good lap.
Yeah. Scott, what are your plans for Richmond besides winning?
yeah, so it's my home track, so I definitely want to win that one. So I ran a Gen 4 league not too long ago here at Richmond, and I think I got second in that leg race. It's a fun track to run. It's very like a line sensitive track. You got to hit your marks and be consistent with it. And if you hit that right line, no matter which car you're in, you're going to be fast.
Yeah. You like the high line or the low line at that track? Or is there a high line versus low line difference?
Definitely. I think it's a bottom feeder track. Mm-hmm. Later on when the tires wear out, you kind of move up a little bit, but not much.
So that's 232 laps. So that's going to be like, a little over 900 turns. That's, I don't know about you, but if it's a competitive race and even if you're in the mid pack and you're battling for position a lot, I know at the end of a race, I'm usually pretty exhausted. How about you guys?
Oh, I had sweat building up on me by halfway.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I need to grab something to just quickly wipe off my glasses. They're starting to get a little smudged, yeah.
So you really take your racing serious, it sounds like it. That's cool.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, just adding that extra element of realism, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. And what about you, Scott? How are you at the end of the race if it's been a tough battle?
When it's a tough battle, you just get your you just don't want to mess it up or anything. So you're both driving hard. You don't want to give it away. It also depends on what tracks you're driving at. If we'll get you tired at the end of the race. Some tracks are just real easy to drive. Others, you really got to be up on the wheel, and those will get you tired real fast.
Yeah, that they do. Scott, you've got Stay Tuned on your sponsor panel there. Tell me about who that is.
So one of the first leagues I joined a few years ago. I think it was the second race I won, and this guy named Jimbo Castellan was watching, and he asked if he could sponsor my car, and we talked about it through Twitter, DM or whatever, and so since then he's been the sponsor for me. So he's also a sports podcast. Big Eagles fan, Philly sports fan, so he's out of the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, well, you got to be careful with them Philly sports fans. You don't want to piss them off, because that's a rough crew. They can be up there.
Yeah, we got a little competitive thing going with being a Washington fan. Philadelphia fan, so
yeah. Seems to be like, if you take the old Rust Belt, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Baltimore, Washington, and even like some of the New York teams, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, throw them in there. That's a pretty, they can be a pretty rough bunch.
Oh, yeah. Philly's probably one of the roughest when they come to Washington because yeah. It's not that far of a drive for them.
Oh, so. That's true.
At FedEx, and it's been like mostly Philadelphia fans there, so they'll outnumber Washington fans at their home game.
Yeah, that's true, because Philly to Baltimore is in D.C. They're both under three-hour drives, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's about 2.5, I think.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Jordan, any sponsors on your car you want to mention, and how did you come across them?
Not really, just design my car, really. I don't got really anything to promote or plug or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, most of us don't, but I always like to ask, because every once in a while, you know, somebody's got a car dealership or a landscaper they put on there, so we want to try to give them credit. If you were to get a sponsor from a local business or somebody you know, who would that be and what do they do?
Sport Ocean Blue Pools, and they work on putting in new pools, but also maintaining them and whatnot. And
cool.
Some of the pools that I've seen them make, I'm just like, wow, I'd love to have a pool like that in my backyard.
Yeah. I remember we got our first in ground pool put in, gosh, it was somewhere in the mid-70s, and it wasn't a big pool my father put in. It was, I don't know what the dimensions were, but it was like $9,000 then, and I guess I don't know what that pool would be today, probably at least $40,000 or $50,000. So things have gotten real expensive, and they've gotten really crazy on some of the stuff you can put in on them.
Yeah, my mom told me it's on that were like over $100,000, and I'm like, man, it's gotta be nice to have $100,000 to put in for a pool.
Yeah, they spend that much up here in New York, and we barely have a 5-month swimming season. I don't know this global warming stuff, but I remember growing up in the 70s, you were in the pool well before Memorial Day, and you were swimming into October, and now up here, you're lucky if you're in by Father's Day, and people closing pools up before Labor Day up here because the weather just turns crazy and such like that. So, Scott, moving forward in the season, I think you're what, in P4 right now, or close to that?
Yeah, I think I'm P4, okay. About 10 points out.
So what are your plans to overtake the current points leader?
I can't really control what
Yes, that's a good plan. I'm racing with Midwest Motorsports. We race the same time on Sunday nights that you do, and we're in our second, coming up to our third week, and I come downstairs to the race room on week one for Daytona. We had the duels before, so I finished eighth, so I was, pre-qualified for eighth for that race, and I can't log in. It stops loading at 15%. And then I spent Monday morning about 4 hours with iRacing going back and forth, and turned out that something with my graphics card needed an update. So I missed that race. We raced Sunday night this week at Auto Club, and they qualified 12th, where I normally do. And it was a 100-lap race, doing really well. We had no cautions, no wrecks, and then I get caught up in the first caution at lap 60 when I was in probably 7th place. Work my way back up from being 2 laps down and got wrecked again, ended up finishing in 12th. So we went 2 green-white checkers, and even on the first one I was in P5, but there was a wreck right at the start, so it kind of screwed up. So I'm happy finishing in the top 10 right now after 2 weeks. I'm in P21 because I missed the first week, but, you know, we'll definitely fight back there. Well, guys, you're welcome to stay for the rest of the show if you want. We're going to go over the race review for week 4, talk points, and then do the money race. Any of you guys entering the Battle of the Teams on the 16th?
I don't think I am.
Okay, cool. Speaking of teams, I just wanted to one more topic to discuss. How important is it to you guys to race with a team and practice with a team during the week? And are you on a team in this league?
In this league, I'm not on a team. So I'm running solo. I think really the only person I raced with before in this league is probably Jason Maines. Mm-hmm. I've seen Eberhardt. I've seen his name around, but I never raced against him till this league.
Yeah.
Other than that, everybody's pretty much a new face. I mean, I really don't know anybody.
Yeah. Do you find a difference when your other league's racing with a team versus racing solo in this one? What's the biggest change or biggest difference for you?
I think biggest difference with this Gen 4 car, you really don't really need as much help from as a team, except for like restarts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can give a few pointers here and there. But other than that, I mean, you don't really draft too much with people with any of these cars at tracks. Daytona, you probably could a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can't really like bump or anything like that. So it's just all about positioning, just being out front, clean air, because these cars are super speedways. It's pretty much impossible to pass. Once you get stuck somewhere, you're just not going anywhere.
Ah, cool. Jordan, do you race with anybody?
No, I kind of just doing solo this season.
Yeah.
It's like he said, there isn't much else you can do rather than, you know, give a couple pointers here and there.
Yeah.
The rest of it is, you know, kind of just skill and driving lines and
just being able to hang out and talk to people. That'd probably be the only big advantage.
Cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Interesting. Because with this is the only league that I've raced in Midwest this year where I haven't been on a team, and there's not too many teams in that league. Like you said, it does add another dimension, someone to talk to, watch out for wrecks and when you're going in for pits and stuff like that. So how did you two come across the Rolling Thunder series? How did you find Justin's league?
I think I can't remember which week it was. It might have been maybe Pocono last season, but you know, you put his little plug out for one of the money races, so
yep.
I checked that out, took part of it, you know, had a good time and whatnot, and then saw about the series and just decided to join up for it.
And Scott, how about you?
I think I've seen one of his ads on So, and it didn't look like, I was trying to look up if they ever had a season before, and they hadn't had a season. So, and then just looking at the roster, see who's signed up, if I know anybody. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Gym 4 series sounded exciting, and I think it was like the last day of sign-up, so I just decided to finally just sign up.
Ah, so it paid off in Atlanta, though, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, so guys, thanks for stopping out tonight. Scott Crump, Atlanta winner, and looking forward to Richmond coming up on Sunday night. Jordan Berbe, now I know how to pronounce your name when I'm going through the standings every week. You finished P5. Guys, good luck in Richmond this Sunday, and hope to talk to you again.
All right. Well, thanks for having us. And hopefully you can get to talk to us some more.
Sure. Have a good night, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, you too.
Scott Crump, the winner from Atlanta this past Sunday night, and Jordan Berbe, fifth place finish at Atlanta. And again, what a heck of a finish there, 0.011, 11 one-thousandths of a second. You can check out the photo of the finish. Definitely was a photo finish on twitch.tv/GregDreis, or you can look it up on YouTube, where the audio and video will be uploaded later. If you're interested in running any of the money races, which they do every month, there's a one coming up in November, just roll on over to RollingThunderRacingSeries.com. Check out the upcoming money races. And don't forget, next week, November 1st, is the deadline for the Battle of the Teams that we'll talk about shortly. Now we're going to take a look at the Atlanta Top 10 from this past race, which is broadcast on Global Sim Racing Channel, as well as the money races for Rolling Thunder Racing Series, broadcast on Global Sim Racing Channel. First place, of course, Scott Crump. He drives the car number 11, barely beating out Dylan C. Jones, car number 3, who finished in P2. The gap was 0.011 seconds. Pretty close for third, Jared Mogard. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. He drives the car number 15, and he was just 0.119 seconds from first place up there with Scott Crump. P4 driver car number 20, Colin Weatherholt. Jordan Berbe finished fifth. He drives a car number 22. Bo Tiffany, 1.66 seconds off the pace, was in P6. He drives car number 35. P7 goes to car number 32. The driver, Lane Doyle. Seth Reed drives car number 51, was in P8. Daniel Eberhard, the third, drives car 90, and he finished in P9. Rounding out the top 10 at Atlanta was Matthew Robinson, drives the car number 34, and he was 5.1 seconds off the pace. Speaking of points, the Burn 'Em Down podcast week 4 points for Rolling Thunder. First place is Colin Weatherholt with 118 points. Daniel Eberhard, he has a win on the season, is in P2, 8 points behind with 110 points. Jared Mogard, he's got a win this year. He's in P3 with 109 points. Scott Crump had his first win this week at Atlanta. He's got 108 points. He's in fourth. Randall Nichols is in fifth with 104 points. Jason Maines in P6 with one win this season. He's at 98 points. Dylan Jones at P7 with 97, and right on his tail, or back bumper, we should say, this is racing, Matthew Robinson with 96 points is in P8. Seth Reed, 95 points, is in P9. And rounding at the top 10, Jacob Manning is in 10th place with 91 points. Right behind him in P11, Ryan Johnson with 90 points. Matthew Molnar with 85 is in P12. P13 is owned by Luke Smith with 83 points. Right behind him in P14 is Michael Larch with 82 points. 15th position is Lane Doyle with 81. Jason Berbe is in 16th place with 79 points. Drew Ballesteros with 78 points is in P17. Trevor Williams in P18 with 76 points. 19th position, Dean Gagliano with 70 points. 20th is Joshua Suss with 68. With 65 points in P21 is Brenton Barker. Bo Tiffany with 63 points is in P22. Sean Corcoran is in with 51 points at P23. Darwin Hansen with 48 points is in P24. William Schwindhammer with 42 points is in P25. P26, Jared Haynes with 37 points. 27th is John Ellis Jr. with 24. And rounding out the standings for the Burn 'Em Down podcast is Jason Kelly with 13 points at P13. So Gen 4 series points for this week after week 4, broadcast on the Global Sim Racing Channel. And we mentioned the money race. Once a month, there's a money waste. The money waste, yeah, Donald Duck sounds like, or Elmer Fudd. Rolling Thunder Racing Series money race every month. Next month, November 16th, is a big one. It's the Battle of the Teams. Room opens at 8 p.m. Qualifying is 8:50. Green flag drops at 9 p.m. Gen 4 Series, fixed sets, 85 laps, 75% fuel, two sets of tires in the pits. No quick repair, and this race will be broadcasted. But here's the big thing. This is a winner-take-all race. The winning team of four drivers will win $1,000, and it's Thursday night, the week before Turkey Day. So you can buy a lot of turkey for $1,000 split between four drivers. So you got to have teams of four drivers. Entry fee is $125. That's not per person. That's per team. For your chance to win $1,000. Hey, it's much better odds than the lottery, and we haven't had a $1 billion lottery in, two or three weeks now? So you're better off putting your money on this race where you've got a really good chance of coming home with the victory. Just a couple updates on the rules here and what happens. The winning team is decided by accumulated points by all four drivers. So person on your team could win, come in P1, but if the other two, three, and four drivers don't pick up the pace, doesn't mean anything if you win the race. It's the points of all four drivers added up will determine the winner. Or somebody else could win the race and not be on the winning team. Or you could have all four of your team not win, but still win the money at the end of the night. Now, in case there's a tie, here's how they're going to break up the tie. If the case there's a tie for first place, the highest placing driver amongst teams, that will be the tiebreaker. So if you end up with two teams or three teams tied, it's the driver with the most points will determine the winning team for that race. And that's Thursday, November 16th, green flag at 9 p.m., Gen 4 Series Daytona, Battle of the Teams. It's a broadcasted race on the Global Sim Racing Channel. $125 to get in, and the winning team takes home $1,000 to buy a lot of turkey. I think I'd be buying some nice bottles of champagne with that money. So where are we going next week? Race 5 is at Richmond. It is 230 laps. And the guys here earlier were talking about their strategies and saying that it's one of those tracks where you got to hit your mark. It's not a short track, but it's certainly not a mile and a half or any of the big tracks. And everybody tonight was talking, Scott Crum talking about hitting your mark on lap or on turn two. 232 laps on a track that's about a mile, that's going to be a grind. So you got to hit your marks and make sure you get there. So if you're in the league, make sure you get out and do some practicing there, because every time I race there, I make sure I do some practicing. And that's Richmond, 230 laps this week in the Rolling Thunder Racing Series. And this has been the Burn 'Em Down Podcast, week 4. This is the wrap-up. The Burn 'Em Down Podcast is the podcast of the Rolling Thunder Racing Series. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. Just want to let you know that every race is broadcast again by the Global Sim Racing Channel. And got to say it one more time. You have a little more than a week to register for the Battle of the Teams. Registration closes November 1st for the race on November 16th. For more information on any of the money races and the Rolling Thunder Racing Series, log on to rollingthunderracingseries.com and find out all about the money races. You don't have to be a member of the league to join the money races. And if you're in the league, you don't have to run the money races. But really cool league. Justin puts out a lot of cash for this for these races every month, as well as it's one of the few race leagues that has a really decent payout every single week, so you don't have to wait until the end of the year to get a paycheck. Some good beer money, some good gas money at the Rolling Thunder Racing Series. The Burn 'Em Down Podcast with Greg Dreiss, your host, is produced by the Sim Racing Podcast. It's available on Twitch live right now at twitch.tv/Greg Dreiss, where it will be for about 2 weeks, and then they kick it out so they don't have to build big server farms out there in the Utah desert. We're also on Spotify, YouTube. Shortly after we get off the air here, I'll upload directly to YouTube. But we're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Google, Amazon, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, Spotify, of course, and rumor has it we'll be on Sirius XM in early 2024. So where do you find the podcast? Twitch.tv/Greg Dreiss, YouTube at the Sim Racing Podcast, Greg Dreiss, and Spotify. Got to leave it to someone to have that long URL address. Spotify, you can find us at podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/Joe Sixpack Racing, or just go out there and Google the Burn 'Em Down Podcast, click the link, and it will take you right to the podcast. We'll be back again next Tuesday night at 8 p.m., hopefully with some winners and some guests from Richmond. Until then, check out the website, RollingThunderRacingSeries.com. Check out the money races and check out the broadcast every week and look them up on Facebook. They're always advertising out there on Facebook, as well as check out some of the races afterwards at the Global Sim Racing Channel. Until then, stay in your lane and we'll catch you at the track. Have a good night and thanks for listening.